All right, well, it is officially summertime, and we are officially starting our study on the fundamentals of the faith. And today is a little bit of an interesting lesson. You know, if I could choose, I always would love to pick a book and would pick a chapter and would pick some verses and I would walk through it. But these are more kind of topical, where I'm taking a lot of data and a lot of information and I am putting it together, and then I'm walking you through it. I much prefer the expository teaching method, but this has its place, and today is an introduction because we've talked about it, but you slept since then, so you probably have forgotten. You can take notes tonight. That is delightful. You're welcome to do that. I have some information that I'll walk through on that pamphlet, but don't read it yet. All right, I'm watching you. And then if you brought your book, there's a couple of times I'm going to turn to the book, and we're going to look at it, okay? So I just have a couple of questions as we get going. The first one is, why this study? Of all the things we could do this summer, of all the things we have done in summers past, why this study? Well, one of the reasons is the influx of new people to Countryside Bible Church. You probably remember a little thing called COVID and how the world responded to COVID. Well, since the COVID time, a lot of people realized the places they lived kind of stunk, so they moved here. And so our schools are more full, our roads are more full, our church is more full. So we have a lot of people that have moved out of state, escaping communism and so forth, and if they have moved to the land of the free, and they're here now. There's also been a number of things going on in the community around, and so our church has gained a lot of people from other churches that have just been in this area, all right? So I would call that an influx of new people. Even when it comes to our youth group, wow, we're trying really hard to keep up with names and faces, and your small groups ain't so small anymore. There's a lot of you, and we're recruiting new leaders, and we're adding them, but there's a lot of people here at our church. And so the question with that is, how do I know the knowledge base of our youth? If you have been here since you were two, you know the Bible is true, and all of those things, and you can do the Selah, and you know Mrs. King's material backwards and forwards, and you did the gospel fuzzies, and you did our VBS, and all of this stuff, you know, if you were paying attention. Some of you have slept since then, or you've actually come to know the Lord since then, and so your understanding and everything's kind of restarted in a new, in a better way. So how do I know the base knowledge of each youth? You know, when I started seminary, what is it, maybe 2016, they have a curriculum chart. All right, you might have this for your school, maybe a checklist that you're working through. When you go to college, there's X amount of hours. And the way that college works, okay, say you have to take 150 hours. We all know that 60 of them are just a money grab and they mean nothing towards anything you're ever going to do. Sorry, all right? I had to take introduction to basketball, okay? And I asked the teacher, if I beat you one-on-one, can I go home? And he declined because he knew that was going to happen, all right? But that's just the life. That's just the way it is. But when I started seminary, they said, look, we want you to know this about Greek. We want you to know this about Hebrew, this about Old Testament, New Testament. Let's give you a whopping one class of counseling, even though that's a big part of what you do. But then there is some electives. And maybe there were 15 hours of electives where you got to choose. But for the most part, when you graduate from seminary, they say, hey, we know that you know this. Well, the youth group is no different, all right? It's no different. And we, first of all, approach things with a systematic teaching of God's word. Because I don't know when you start the youth group. I don't know when you're leaving the youth group. But I want you to be able to read the Bible for yourself and understand what God is communicating. And the best way to do that is on Sundays and Wednesdays is just to preach the word. And so we went through the book of John. And I hope that when you sit down one day and you read through the book of John, you go, oh, I remember that. And if you don't remember it, you can use the process that we use to get our information to study it for yourself. And so that's really important. And I actually have a master list of teaching, all right? And so you come in as a sixth grader, And so I have written down and recorded what you did when you were so little, many moons ago. And I don't duplicate that until you graduate, for the most part. All right? So then I look and I wrap around and I kind of have an understanding of do that. We also do Bible quizzing. Bible quizzing was one of those things. I was meeting with our seniors, 12 years ago or something like that. And I asked them questions. Can you share a verse about I am not saved by my works? Or can you lose your salvation? Yes, no, maybe. Do you have a verse? And so I took that conversation and I said, you know what? I really want you to do these verses that are specific to these main things of the Christian faith. And so XL Ministries trained me to be a youth pastor. They did this curriculum with the Navigators called the Nav Packet. And so I just ripped off that baby and I made that our own. And God is okay with that because it's the Bible, okay? So we have that. And if you go through our Bible quiz memorization system, those are, I want you to know about God's resources, okay? And I want you to know how to share the gospel. And so that's something that we have, all right? Some of you are awesome at it. Some of you, you've looked at it at some point. But I hope you at least come to the quizzes and you hear the information and the repetition and stuff like that. We have also what our church calls the essentials. Remember when we talk about Bible study and prayer and fellowship and evangelism and so forth? And so we do that every other fourth summer. We come back to it. Well, we just had a conference about it, which is awesome. So I want you reading. I want you coming to worship. I want you fellowshipping with one another. So that's information that we repeat so that you have that in your brain. You know, we had our Getting Grounded program, which was on Tuesday mornings. And it was a great time. I really enjoyed it. We were going through systematic theology and we were going through biblical leadership. But the problem with that is not all of you can come on Tuesday morning. So I wanted to do something this summer that was important and that was impactful that you can take and you can use it to grow you in your faith. But also you have some material to take with you for life. And so even in chapter one, at the end of it, you know, I often talk about the proof of the accuracy of the word of God, the manuscripts and stuff like that. Well, it has that written in here. And I can say it in a lesson, and I know most of you, you're locked in for life. It is tattooed on your brain. But some of you, you might forget something I say every once in a while. And so the content is written in here. When it comes to this influx of new people and how do we know what they know and how are we making sure that we're covering all of our bases and stuff like that, the elders started to talk about a chart of discipleship. A chart of discipleship. When someone shows up at our doorstep and they start attending Countryside, where are we going to direct them? All right, we know that we want every person here to repent of their sins and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's number one, okay? But when you've become a Christian, where do we tell you to go? And what do we tell you to do? Well, for you, you go to the worship service because your parents tell you to. No, because you want to, right? And you come to youth because you're hungry and thirsty for the word of God. Or because your friends are here, all right? But what are all the different things that we do and we promote? If you look at this getting involved at Countryside, I'm not going to read through all of it, okay? But you can see at the top, and I love whoever did this. We got navy blue, we got lighter blue. It's beautiful. It says, the essentials are the core biblical priorities that define every Christian's life. These actions strengthen our devotion to Jesus Christ, deepen our love for God and for other people, and cause us to grow in personal holiness. And they're listed right there. The theme verse of this document is Ephesians 4:12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. You see, when you have turned from your sin and placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a new creation. And you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That's right, for good works. And you come to church to worship, you come to church to fellowship, but you come to be trained, you come to be equipped so that you can serve others and you can further the kingdom of God. And so the first place we direct everyone to is corporate worship, okay? It should be a foreign concept that someone is a part of our church, but they don't go to big church. And I couldn't get them to put big church on here, okay? Tried, got shot down, okay? No youth speak in this document. But we want everybody to go to the corporate worship service. But as you heard on Sunday morning, Pastor Tom called out those that do what? That just show up to the corporate worship service and then hop in their car and go home. He goes, no, that's not right. You should be serving. You should be ingrained in the body. So you can't just go there. So it starts with the corporate worship service. But then we want everyone to get connected in church life. Well, what does church life look like? Well, that could be a Sunday school class. It could be a home fellowship. It could be something like Men of the Word, the different aspects of the women's ministry, like Titus 2 discipleship. There's foundations and beginnings and yada, yada, and so forth. But then you got us. And they put the middle school down and the high school, cross-training and cross-culture. That's part of it. You go to the main worship service, but then you need a smaller group to share life with, all right? Because in the service, you're worshiping side by side, right? You're studying God's word, but there's not a whole lot of interaction at times with people. Well, this is something that gets you interacting with people, and that's what we call church life, all right? Now, anytime someone knows the Lord and they're ready, we want them to join as a part of membership. So we put that over there in that little gray bubble, all right? We want them to be members. But then there's also what we would consider two other foundational pieces of discipleship. And one of them you've heard a lot about. It's the Partners One-on-One Ministry. And it's a great ministry. It's a curriculum. It's a 10-chapter curriculum where you sign up and you get paired up with an older, more mature person in the faith. And then you do the workbook and then you meet together. And when you meet together, you start out, tell me the memory verse. Oh, no memory verse, you don't pass this week. It's the way it works. All right, then you go through the content and the curriculum and you talk about things and you're sharing life. And you're like, woo, this is great. And we have a whole process that goes with that. But at an elders meeting, when we were talking about, Mr. Chandler loves a chart, so we got a chart. Where do we go? What do we do? Someone walks through the door. How do we do? What's the path of discipleship? And someone brought up, well, what about fundamentals of the faith? And I was like, yeah, we have an elective class for it. And someone else was like, oh, no, yeah, they got to do fundamentals of the faith. And it was like, I had never seen it kind of, I guess, put on par with like what Partners is. And they were really promoting it. And, you know, what's funny is when you look at the curriculum, you know what it covers? Pretty much the same thing that Partners does, but it covers it in a different way. But those are things, all right, I'm going to the worship service. I'm connected in a life group, all right? But I want to grow more. Well, Partners is a good one-on-one discipleship method, but Fundamentals of the Faith helps solidify your knowledge base. How many books are in the Old Testament? How many books are in the New Testament? You know, things like that. What does inerrancy mean? Fundamentals of the Faith solidifies those things in your mind. Okay, well, then I'm not going to go through all this chart again, but then you have things like this. We're all called to serve, so you need to find a place to serve. And then if you still feel inadequate in certain areas, there's additional training, like there's an evangelism class. You don't have to worry about it, but there's a parenting class, all right? There's discipleship counseling and there's other equipping classes. We do things with outreach like local evangelism and the VBS and stuff like that, all right? So if you're really like, okay, this is awesome. I love it. I'm eating it up. I'm growing in Christ. I want to do these things, but I'm also interested in like, how do you become a teacher? You know, how do you become a missionary? That stuff's on the back. You can look at it. And we want to promote it and we want to tell people because for you, the next generation, look, y'all are the future pastors. Y'all are the future missionaries. Y'all are the future, we have a finance committee people. We have people that work in counseling and, you know, all sorts of stuff. You guys are the future of that. And so this is where it starts. It starts with corporate worship, then getting connected with a life group, and then getting further training with the fundamentals of the faith or a partners, that type of thing, serving consistently, but then we have things on the back when it comes to leadership, okay? And again, you can take that for what it's worth. You can look at that and you can walk through all those things, okay? So the reason why I bring this up is I was really surprised because I'd never gone through fundamentals of the faith before. And they were talking about how much they loved it and how they used it and how important it was. And I was like, well, I got some time this summer. I think we should go through it. And here we are. The way our church does Fundamentals of Faith, there's an elective class taught by Aaron Lakey and Ryan Loudermilk. And you go to the class and they teach a lesson and then you do the chapter on your own. And that way you get trained and you get taught, right? And that's why I wanted to do this. I want you to have this knowledge base. I want you to have this foundation, okay? But how do I plan for us to do this study? How are we going to pull this off? What are we going to do? Well, I'm just going to open up the book real quick. And if you have your book, you're welcome to look at it as well. But there are 13 chapters to this, okay? There are 13 chapters, and I'm just looking at the introduction. And in the introduction, this comes from Grace Church in California. And you've probably heard the name Dr. John MacArthur. Dr. John MacArthur has been the pastor of Grace Community Church for a really long time, all right? The Master's Seminary and all the work that he has done there. He has countless books and sermons and things like that. A great man of faith. And his church has helped develop this curriculum. The partners one-on-one. Does anyone know the pastor that developed that curriculum? You cheated. Yes, Mike Ferbarez, who's also in California. So there's two good things that come out of California, all right? So Mike Ferbarez has spoken some, and so his church does partners. Grace Church does Fundamentals of Faith. But you'll notice this. Prepare your assignment. It says, number one, along with this workbook, you will need a Bible and a journal or notebook for personal notes from the messages you will hear. You don't need that. You can if you want. All right, optional. There's plenty of room to write on here. But if you're taking notes, hopefully you're going to keep that somewhere, right? All right. Then it says download message number one, our God-breathed Bible from www.gty.org/FOF. Okay, you can do that. That's great. I am going to actually teach that lesson on Sunday. It's not going to be the same, all right? Mine will probably be a little closer to the book curriculum. But his is going to be better because it's John MacArthur that does it. Now, some of the material is kind of old because when you get to chapter two and he says, you need a good Bible translation, so use the NAS or the NIV. And you're like, whoa, what happened there? But they're great lessons. You don't have to do that. We're going to teach that lesson. So on Sundays, you'll show up. We will teach that lesson. On Wednesdays, I'm going to recap a little bit and talk about it. And then you're going to go to your small group. Instead of doing this on your own, you're actually going to do this in your small group. And I call that putting your money where your mouth is. I say it's important. Okay, all of y'all go home and this is your homework. Complete it. You're not going to do it. Some of you will. Under penalty of pain or death of your parents or something like that. But I want you to come and sit down in a room and your leaders are going to guide you through this. And there might be times they say, hey, Tay, take 10 minutes on your own. Write this out. Let's come back and let's talk about the answers. Your leaders might say, let's just all go do this together. All right? Most of your leaders have a lot of this content, but they've never done Fundamentals of the Faith. They're going to be walking through this with you as well. And you might come up with a question and they might go, yeah, that's a really good question. Let me go ask Josiah. All right? He will get that to you. But you're going to sit down and you're going to actually take the time. So you see things like the Old Testament book. You're going to write those down. And you're like, well, I know them, but writing it down helps you remember those things. And you're talking about the historical books, the major prophets, the minor prophets, on and on and on. And then there's some application at the end, all right? So you're going to do that together with your group. Now, in your small group time, you might blow through this and you're good to go. So then you'll have regular small group time where you share about prayer requests and what's life looking like and stuff like that. For some of you, it might take you the whole time to go through this content. But Wednesdays, bring your book. If you forget your book, back in the book rack, and yes, we do have a book rack, there are some ones you can borrow for that night and then put them back in. Don't keep taking a new book every time you show up, all right? So that's what we're going to do. What if I miss? All right, well, it's summer. Of course you're going to miss. Clearly, our lessons are recorded online, and I know you're going to be torn. Do I go to Grace to You, or do I go to the Countryside one? Do I, Justin, John, which one do I go with? You don't have to tell me. You won't hurt my feelings. You can pick either one, and you'll get that content that's there. But you can obviously answer these questions on your own. You can do it on your own. You know, some of your leaders might even have time this summer. They can get together with you one-on-one or something along those lines and go through that content. Your parents would probably be floored if you said, hey, would you buy a book from the bookstore and we can talk about it and make sure I got the right answers and all of that stuff. That would be super awesome, okay? Now, with this, you'll notice that all of the chapters start out with a memory verse. And some of them you're like, oh, I got this, because I already did it in Bible quizzing, okay? But some of you, it might be new. That's you. You might spend time in your group doing it. You might spend time on your own, all right? Whatever level that you're going to put into this, this is what you're going to get out of it, all right? And at the end of the day, if you miss or whatever it is, you have this resource to go back to read and to grow and understand, all right? Read and grow and understand. Now, let's talk a little bit about how this study is going to be structured, okay? Now, it didn't work out perfectly this summer. It would have been awesome to teach lesson one on Sunday, and then on Wednesday, you did the book work on lesson one. But what messed that up? Summer camp. Yeah, you can blame Josiah, okay? Summer camp. We're not going to be here, okay? But there's only so many Sundays and Wednesdays in the summer, so we're going to do chapter one on Sunday. And then I'm going to do chapter two on the following Sunday. And then that first Wednesday on July 11th, you're going to go ahead and do the book work for chapter one and chapter two. I don't know if you're going to be able to get through all of it. Some of your leaders might go ahead and get a head start tonight when you go to your small group. They might say, hey, let's open it up. Let's start working through some of these things. And you're like, oh, but I didn't bring my book. I told you to bring your book, all right? Come on Wednesdays, bring your book. When it comes to the word fundamental, we tend to want to be experts or we want to be masters of a certain thing. But we don't actually learn the fundamentals. You know, I work with a lot of people in basketball. And there's a number of you that sign up for the basketball league. And you show up and you're frustrated because you can't make a basket. And you thought just because you signed up, you would be able to make a basket. But you don't know how to make a basket. Okay, did you know that part of the fundamentals is it's important how your feet are? How your feet are, how far they are away, how they're structured with one another. How you hold the ball is important, okay? When you go down and when you go up is important. What your eyes are doing is important, all right? The muscle memory and the practice and the repetition, all of those things are fundamentals that are important. In the fall, when we have our flag football league, some of you, you put your dominant foot forward, and you try to throw like this, and you think it's normal. You think it's normal. And you're like, well, why can't I throw? And we're like, do you look at yourself? Have you ever seen yourself try to throw? All right? So no, your other foot is in front, and then you're here, and you're stepping through. All right? That's a fundamental, okay? If you're trying to learn an instrument, you want to be good at that instrument. You look at the drum set, and you think, I got this. Look, if JT can do it, I've seen someone do this before. No, there's fundamentals that you need to understand, okay? There's things about music that you have to get. We look and we say, wow, in my walk with the Lord, I want to be here. Well, I at least hope you say you want to be there. But you have to crawl before you walk. you have to walk before you run. And you can't just skip steps or skip levels. You have to start with the fundamentals. The fundamentals. If you ever wonder why you're not good at something, it could be, well, you're just not gifted to do it, but you might not have the fundamentals in order to do it. But fundamentals of the what? Of the faith. Of the faith. Some of you, you're not going to understand what's in this book because you are still darkened in your understanding. You might be able to memorize everything. You might fill in every single blank, but it may never actually impact your heart or your head because you are still in rebellion. You have no faith. So step one for you, you need to realize your need of a Savior. You need to turn from your sins and you need to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that moment, you are washed and renewed and regenerated and sealed with the Holy Spirit. He now indwells you. And when it comes to the Word of God, He illuminates the Word so that you can understand it and you can process it. So if you have no faith, you might look at this and say, oh, this is boring and dumb, and why would we do these things? Or you might be tempted to think this is a feather in your cap to get you to heaven. You already go to the pearly gates and say, hey, look at my Iwana badge and all my rubies and jewels and stuff. That gets me in, right? And now you're going to be waving your fundamentals of the faith book. No, it's not what this is. This doesn't save you. But once you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you love Him. You love Him. And if you love Him, you love His Word. You want to learn more about Him. You want to know more about Him. You want to grow in Him. You want to grow in Him. The challenge is not just to be here. It's to what? Excel still more. You have such a wonderful advantage. Many of you have forgotten more Bible verses than any of the youth in the whole country have ever even read in their life. Okay? A lot of you are really far along in a number of these things. But you have to take it and you have to apply it and you have to live it and you have to seek to grow in it. You have to seek to grow in it. Because the church needs the next generation to be able to accurately handle the Word of God. Whether you're going to be a missionary going off and telling people about Christ or planting churches, or whether you're going to be a pastor. I mean, imagine a pastor that doesn't have the base knowledge telling other people, thus saith the Lord, when they don't understand it themselves. That's scary. Or if you're just a part of a church. You know what really helps us? I tell people all the time, when it comes to my basketball teams, when I get better players, I'm a much better coach. It's funny how that works, okay? If we have church members that already know the Word and already have these fundamentals, well then, man, we can go to the next step. We can do the next thing. We've already put off that pride and we've put on that humility and wow. This is what we can do. This is what we can do. I want to read John MacArthur's introduction because this is their program and their path. But again, this isn't a thus saith the Lord. You could structure it differently. But I want you to see his heart and Grace Community's heart behind it. So here we go. We got our welcome and introduction. I won't read all of it. It says Fundamentals of the Faith, or FOF. I don't like abbreviations, all right? I don't know why they call it FOF. FOF sounds kind of weird. You can just call it fundamentals if you want. All right, if you want to do the FOF thing or whatever, it's up to you. Maybe the best kept secret at Grace Community Church. Well, we know their secret. It was born out of a joyful necessity decades ago when I was a young pastor at Grace Church. It was relatively small. We were growing. Families and individuals, some new to the faith and others simply new to the area, were coming to the church in droves. So many new faces, so many unique backgrounds. We needed to ensure this growing congregation was firmly rooted in the fundamental doctrines of the faith. Doctrines is just another word for teachings. Fundamentals has played a key role in the spiritual growth of our congregation ever since. It provides new believers with a rock-solid theological foundation. It helps mature Christians sharpen their understanding of key doctrines and equips them for evangelism and discipleship. It fosters the only kind of unity that truly means anything in the church, unity based on a shared understanding of God's truth. Now, one thing that, you know, when I interact with other people in the community and they ask about our church, a lot of churches, their youth group is comprised of people that have the same schooling. They all go to Carroll, or they all go to Grapevine, or they're all homeschooled or something like that. And I try to show them the melting pot that you are, that our church actually is united by what? Doctrine. The Word of God, all right? That is our bond. And to be able to come together and learn it and understand it, it just solidifies our unity that much more. All right, in spite of its importance to Grace Church through the years, Fundamentals remains, as I have said, somewhat of a secret. Except for a handful of churches, its resources have largely been untapped. That is until now. By God's grace, we have a new platform from which we can put this powerful resources into churches across the country. All right, I want you to flip over real quick, past the table of contents. And it does say, all right, right here in this introduction, Fundamentals is the outgrowth of the belief that the essence of Christianity is truth, truth about God the Father, Christ and the Holy Spirit, truth about man's sin and God's plan of salvation, and truth about God's revealed will for the church and our individual lives. What you believe matters, and it matters eternally. Wrong beliefs about God lead people to hell. Christianity is a faith anchored on truths in the Bible, which is God's only inspired written revelation. The material is best used in a small group of committed people. If you commit to attending these classes, doing the work beforehand, and participating, you will gain an increased understanding of the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And that's where what we're doing deviates just a little bit from the original plan, where I want you to come and listen to the lesson. If you miss the lesson, listen to it before you come on that Wednesday. If you forget, do it after that Wednesday. Just listen to it at some point. Bring your book with you. Sit down, do the work together, all right? Quiz each other if you want to. All sorts of wonderful, amazing stuff. Let's look at a chapter and what a chapter would look like. So lesson one's very simple, all right? Talks about that prepared, or I give some comments. I would encourage you to read through all of it. They're good comments. But the introduction of the Bible, we're looking at the Bible as the Word of God. It gives some basis and some foundations why we know it's the Word of God. And then it starts walking through the 39 books of the Old Testament, having you record and write those down. And then when you get to the New Testament, the 27, wink, wink, books of the New Testament, it also is divided into a couple of different categories, and you get to write those categories down. Talk about Christ in the Bible, connecting the Old Testament and the New Testament, all right? But then you get some pretty cool stuff. You get a chart. I like charts. So you don't have to do a whole lot with this chart. It's just data for you to know. It's data for you to understand. And then it's also going to have some application, okay? So like when you get to page 12, what four things does God's Word do? Pretty simple. Psalm 19 right there. And then based on what you've learned about the Bible, what should your response be? And then you got another cool chart. You got a Bible at a glance. So you have the 66 books of the Bible. It breaks down the old and the new, and it gives you those different categories, the history, the poetical, the prophetical, and all of that fun stuff. Okay? So there's a mixture of questions that I think that are a little bit easier. They're base level questions, but they're important content to remember. But then it kind of takes you to the higher level critical thinking type questions. And then it's going to take you to the application questions. But then it's also going to give you some data, some information for you to, if you don't memorize all of it, to keep and to have. All right. When it comes to the table of contents, flip over to the left. I don't know, I'm sorry, it's maroon as well. No one really likes maroon, but that's just what they like. So you can bear through that. Other people like maroon. I don't really like maroon. So you have two lessons about the Bible. Then we're going to talk about God and his characters and attributes, the person and work of Jesus, the work of Christ, salvation, the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, prayer in the believer, the church, fellowship and worship. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts, evangelism in the believer, obedience, God's will, and guidance. All right, so hopefully you see the need for understanding and knowing some of these things, all right? So as we conclude, what I want to ask you is, I want you to think through, how do I maximize the fundamentals of the faith study? How do I maximize it? Go in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because unfortunately, you can't just rub this on you and become more like Christ. You can't slip it underneath your pillow and lay on it, all right? You can't even do all of this book and it just magically transform you, all right? 1 Peter 2 gives us a great blueprint for growth and for change. It says, therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all slander, all right? So this is a participle, but it has the force of a command, putting aside. And it really is like clothing, right? So you get all sweaty and gross after you play a sport, or maybe you fall in the mud, or whatever it is the kids do these days. You take that and you lay it aside. I'm here saying, look, I love Jesus. I want to grow in his word. Okay, how do I do that? I can't hold on to my sin and grow. I can't hold on to my sin and grow. I have to take my sin and I have to put it aside. So for instance, if I'm being deceitful, if I'm being a hypocrite, if I'm being jealous and I'm slandering other people, well, I can't just read this and poof, I know more. I want you to think of like pride. I put off pride and I come to the word of God and I say, God, teach me. But if I have pride and, oh, I know it all and I know what's best, give me this dumb book and I'll do this study. No. I already know this. This is kid stuff. No, you have to take that pride and you have to put it off. Or selfishness. I'd rather do something like this or do whatever. Well, you have to think of the group. Maybe some of the stuff you do know, but maybe there's someone else in your group that for the first time is like, wow, wow. I would go over to friends' house growing up and they'd have a family Bible study or they would do something and to them they're like, oh, Dad. And I'm like, I've never seen this before. Like, this is amazing. Think of laziness. Put aside laziness and do the work. So we put aside sin, and then it says, like newborn babies, long, this is a command, long for the pure milk of the word. I want this. And again, this is not the Bible, but this is a tool about the Bible. Okay? And you should look at it and you should say, I want it. I got to have it. How's your reading been this summer? School's over, no homework, infinite amount of free time, right? slept in kind of late, and then this happened, and this, and I'll pick it up tomorrow. If you want to grow, you have to love the word. You have to long for it. And that beautiful illustration, that baby, when that baby want milk, okay, our cats, when they want their food, they'll do whatever it takes, including biting my nose or whatever it is, or I don't know why, they attack my feet. I'm like, I'm going to kick you every time. I don't mean to, but you just run into my feet. And they're like, that'll show him. He'll feed us now. And I'm like, no, I won't. Kim will. Okay? But they want it. And so they won't stop until they get it. You should want God's word. You should yearn for God's word. You should long for God's word. And you don't stop until you get it. So that by the word, you may grow in respect to salvation. All of us, when we come to faith in Christ, are positionally sanctified. But then we are called to progressively grow in Christ's likeness. And it doesn't happen by magic. It doesn't happen by lightning. It doesn't happen by osmosis or diffusion. It happens by loving God's word and reading it and studying it and applying it. And this is a tool to help you. It's a tool to help you. Knowing how God structures his word helps me understand it. Understanding his word helps me know the themes and what he's trying to communicate to me. If there's, for instance, a time that I'm struggling with sorrow, well, I'm going to go to Philippians because it's about joy. Well, how do I know that? It's because I've studied that and I've memorized those things. But here we go. What does verse 3 say? If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. What's Peter saying? If you're really a Christian. I mean, Christian, you've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. God has poured out his mercy upon you. Grace upon grace, forgiveness. But if you have never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is just going to go here and go out. But if you have, you put aside that sin and you long for the word, and then you're going to grow. And what we're going to talk about on Sunday are the benefits and the blessings of that growth. Because your life and the things you do in obedience to God, you're going to love him more, you're going to have peace, you're going to have comfort, you're going to put off that sin more and more, and you're going to put on righteousness. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so thankful for this time together. We're so thankful that we can talk about you and about your word, and we are so spoiled to have it all just recorded right here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written down by your followers. All we got to do is open it up and read it, study it and apply it to our life, and we know that we'll be better for it. I thank you so much for the youth that are here. Pray that they would be committed to the study and the growth. Pray you would bless this time. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.